From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named best radio show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day to you. Welcome. Bill Michaels Show, we are on the air. We are glad you're on board today. As always, hopefully you're having a good time. Hopefully you're having a good day. You've got the Bucs coming back after a West Coast road trip. They get a couple of wins, take a couple of losses. We'll get into that discussion. Got the football frenzy right around the corner. You've got another loss for the Badgers on Saturday. I didn't think they were going to win going to Happy Valley. If I had to bet my house on it, I would have bet that they lost that game, and sure enough, they did. By the way, coming up about an hour from now, Brian Baldinger from the NFL Network analyst, he is going to be joining us. Brian's always great. If you've ever listened to him when he joins us out at Super Bowl and Radio Row, he is always fantastic. So we're going to talk with Brian coming up here in a little bit. We're going to hear Mike McCarthy's press conference from a little bit earlier today. That's coming up as well. Also, Dave Schrader, the sports anchor, reporter for WBAY-TV, Channel 2 in Green Bay, going to be joining us a little bit later on today. Zach Heilprin, the sports director of 96.7 FM and 1670 AM, The Zone in Madison. He will be here, and got a lot of stuff on the docket today. But we appreciate you taking a listen to us. A lot of emails to get to. If you want to chime in, you can. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. 8648. You can also track us down on Twitter. Like us there at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, or @RadioJoeSports. You can also find us over on the Facebook fan page. You can find the website. That is BillMichaelsSports.com, BillMichaelsSports.com, and the Radio.com app. The best way to get us anywhere, anytime, all over the place. So go ahead and favorite us there when you get the opportunity to. Appreciate that as well. Brandon writes in the Wendy's email inbox, how good do you think this Bucs team can be? I believe that the Bucs are going to be a top four team for sure. It would be disappointing if they are not. Got me to thinking a little bit. I love it, Brandon, when people make me think. I've always said that. Is that where the expectation is? And should it be? They've already beaten Toronto. Toronto 12-2 on the season. Bucks 10-3 in the season. They're a game and a half behind Toronto for the top spot in the East. Philadelphia 3.5 games back. But they just made the trade for Jimmy Butler. They're 9-6. Pacers 8-6. Charlotte 7-6, along with Boston, who is 7-6. They have not quite figured it out. The Detroit Pistons at 500, and believe it or not, in the eighth seed, two games under 500. Is the Brooklyn Nets at 6-8. Can you believe the Cleveland Cavaliers? LeBron goes west, and the Cavaliers start out the season 1-11. 1-11. Unreal. Unreal. By the way, Jimmy Butler now traded. He's off to Philadelphia. And says he doesn't worry much about what people say about him in the press and intends to show that he's a good teammate with the 76ers. Well, that'll be a first, because he doesn't seem to have been a good teammate to those down in Chicago, because he wanted everything to himself. So then he went off to Minnesota, where he promptly challenged everybody, including the coach, in kind of the jagtastic way that he did it, because he wanted out of there. And now he's going to Philadelphia with a bunch of young guns that have already kind of set themselves as, here's the hierarchy, and he's going down there to say, I'm the deal, I'm the guy, and oh, by the way, I'm not a bad teammate, and you're going to find out, but I'm the guy. To those that are already down there saying, no, we're the guy. Sorry about your luck. It's going to be interesting to see how Jimmy Butler fits in with the 76ers. And what they got going on down there. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Chime in if you want to do so. Bucks get the 2-2 on the West Coast trip. Is that where you want to be? Are you happy with that? See, Jim Paschke brought up a good point in the last in the last segment. All right, take that, two segments ago when we had him on the program. See, he said, and it does make sense, we'll never know, but he said basically, because I thought, you know, the game that got away from him was the Clippers. You know, hey, you beat the Clippers, you come back 3-1, that's a hell of a road trip, and the way you did it is fantastic. I mean, you knocked off Golden State. You knocked off Denver. You fell to Portland, you fell to the Clippers. You would never have liked to fall into the Clippers, but you beat two really good teams. But the Clippers were thrown in between, and had you gotten that Clippers game, you'd have been looking at things a little bit different. You'd have been stacking success a little bit better. He's saying just the opposite. He said, hey, look, if you beat the Clippers coming out of that Golden State game, then the sense of urgency against Denver is not as high. And he's got a point. But my question is this. Are you a little disappointed by the loss to the Clippers? I was. Coming off of that win against Golden State, I'm thinking to myself, man, it's all rolling now. It's all rolling. Here we go. All rolling right now. And then it didn't happen. You know, so I'm of the you got to stack success before you can be considered one of the top teams, if you will, in the Eastern Conference, or in the league for that matter. But Jim's got a point, because a sense of urgency would not have been there against Denver had they not lost to the Clippers. I would have said, hey, they would have wanted to end that road trip 3-1 had they beaten the Clippers, which there still would have been the sense of some urgency there. But I get it. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. Want to hear from you. By the way, this is from Brad in Sturgeon Bay, who listens to us. He said, hey, the guy on the flagship station, Bart Winkler, wasn't he just in Florida? Yes, he was. It could have been Bart riding around on a bicycle naked after playing the bongos and eating chicken wings. You are correct. In case you missed it, go back to the last hour. Find us, because there was a story out of St. Petersburg, Florida about just that. I completely agree with you. This is from Red. Red writes, hey guys, love the program. Jimmy Graham topic was fantastic. My buddies and I were just talking about this a little while ago. I think that Jimmy Graham has seen his better days, but I still think he can be a good catch for the Green Bay Packers. He just has to go up and get a ball more consistently. I think if he brings a couple down, Aaron Rodgers will go to him more. What do you think? Jimmy Butler can go anywhere. He's going to implode that team. That bodes well for the Bucks. Go someplace that could be a contender, just so the Bucks can then take you in the Eastern Conference, Jimmy. Way to be a destructive force inside your own locker room. Then he's got P.S. Used to root for him when he was with Marquette. What the hell happened to him? We've talked about that before. Very good guy. Very soft-spoken. It's not to say he's not a good guy anymore. It's just he's got an agenda. Jimmy Butler's one of those guys that I think is a very good player, and I think he just believes he's more than what he is. And that's part of the problem. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, do it. This is from Guess, as in G, or unless it's a long Gus. I have no idea. But he says, and I assume it's a he, not a fan of Jimmy Butler. Never have been. Then again, I'm a Badger fan, but I do appreciate what they did going to the Final Four and the way that team played years ago. I think Jimmy Butler is a good player coming out of Marquette. I have been a fan of his. I've been a fan of Dwayne Wade's. Not a fan of Marquette. I just can't bring myself to root for the blue and the gold with my Badger pride sticking out. I do believe he is going to be an asset to that team and maybe teach them how to win. It will be a double-edged sword, though. He will grow cold after a while, and we'll watch that team begin to hate him as other teams around the league have. Thanks for the display of bias that you want to let us know going into this thing, but I'm of the ilk of just wait and see. Because what happens if Jimmy Butler goes there and really drives him a little bit more and brings it all together? You know what I mean? Guys like that, though, they wear you out after a while. They really do. Guys like that, they can inspire you. You can go play hard. But when all they do is complain and all they do is point the finger at themselves and say, look at me, look at me, look at me, until things go bad, and then they say, look at you, that'll wear people out in a heartbeat. So I don't know what to make yet of what Jimmy Butler's going to mean to the Philadelphia 76ers. All I know is that the Bucks have already beaten some of the best teams in the East, And the biggest thing about the Bucs, in case you haven't noticed, the Bucs right now lead the entire NBA. The entire NBA in point differential. They are a plus 11.9 in differential on average. Raptors are a plus 8. Nobody else in the East is even close. You've got Golden State at 9.9, 9.7 for Portland, 6.4 for the Nuggets, 4.6 for the Clippers. By the way, all of those teams, Warriors, Trailblazers, Nuggets, and Clippers, that's your top four in the West right now, followed by Oklahoma City, San Antonio, Memphis, and Sacramento. The Houston Rockets, who are supposed to be all that in a bag of chips, sitting at 5-7, a couple of games under 500, and their point differential is a negative 4.6. So the teams that the Bucks just faced, four of the top four teams right now playing basketball here today in the West. So to split with them out on the West Coast, in essence, not a bad way to go. Not a bad way to go. Let's go to Neil on the North Side. Neil, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
What's up, man? What's up, man?
Look, what's happening?
I want you to address what I'm saying, man. I done called before. Check this out. Until the Packers do something about them outside linebackers, you're going to have the same problem. Been the same problem for at least the last three seasons. I called you 2 years ago and told you the Packers are going to do the same thing with Clay Matthews that they did with A.J. Hawk. They held on to him too long, man, in the same role that they thought. He's not the clay maker no more. He can make clay, but he's not the clay maker.
Right.
They better draft three outside linebackers just like they did the wide receiver position and get rid of number 53, man. Dude, you don't even know he on the field, man.
Right. No, I completely agree. Appreciate the phone call. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. 48. If you want to chime in, that's the way to do so. When he starts talking about 53 being Nick Perry. You can't get rid of him at the end of this season because you owe him way too much money, unless you just call it a loss and just get rid of him. Because you would owe him, I think, anywhere from 7 to 11 million bucks. I'd have to check to be sure. But I think it's still quite a bit of money for Nick Perry if you just cut him loose. So regardless, I think he's still going to count against your salary cap pretty heavy going into next season. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show. We are on the air. We are glad you are here today. Hey, I want to remind you that regardless of whether the Packers head south, and I'm talking about down to Atlanta, Georgia, for that big game they have the first Sunday in February, we are going to be there. The Bill Michaels Show will be on the road, Radio Row again this year, live from Atlanta, an entire week's worth of guests and great interviews and just all the sights and sounds that are Super Bowl, and we can't wait to get there. We're going to be heading down there, compliments of a lot of great friends. Our friends from Brumar Productions, by the way, and I'll give you some more up-to-date stuff on some of the shows that they have coming up. They have got some good stuff coming to, really coming all over, as a matter of fact. Last year we were broadcasting the Tusk, which is the Fleetwood Mac cover band's coming to town. They're gonna be doing some stuff. You've got Eagle Mania, the world's greatest Eagles tribute band. That's coming. They're going to be in Sheboygan, as a matter of fact, at the Weill Center. That's going to be Friday night, February 15th. That's Valentine's weekend, by the way. Tickets are on sale at the Weill Center box office or go to weillcenter.com, W-E-I-L-L. Also, you got Eagle Mania is going to be in Wausau that next day on Saturday, February 16th. You've got the Tusk is going to be on the road. They're going to be down in Joliet, Illinois, Thursday night, April 4th, all through Brumar Productions. Got a lot of different stuff going on through them. Thanks to them for being a big part of the program as well. Also, our friends at Pizza Del Rey up there in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, you got a big event coming up for the holidays. Man, go over and see JR and his whole staff over there at Pizza Del Rey. And can't say thanks enough to our buddy Dwayne and all the staff up there, including his buddy, his dog, that I see in pictures all the time. At Dwayne's Cover It All in Wausau, and whether it's office furniture, leather furniture, or maybe you're just getting a boat or a car or something reupholstered. He does incredible, incredible work. He just does fantastic work. So go see our buddy Dwayne at Dwayne's Cover It All. That's Dwayne's Cover It All in Wausau. 855-830-8648. Coming up here at the bottom of the hour, we got the football frenzy right around the corner. Let's go to back to the phone calls. Dave on the north side. Dave, how you doing, man? What's happening?
Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just, you know, I as soon as the game was over, I went online to see the stat line, and I was totally unsurprised to see that Perry and Matthews had a combined zero tackles Sunday because they were just non-existent. Although Kyle Fackrell is starting to come on a little bit. But the guy that really, really surprised me, because I really been off everybody's radar and I thought he had a really great game, was Josh Jones. I thought he had five solid tackles, and he was just in the mix all the time, and I was really happy to see that he was starting to show up.
Yeah, he was been given a chance now. I mean, getting rid of, you know, a couple players, Kentrell Bryce going down with the ankle injury, so he's got an opportunity to shine now. He's got to make the most of it.
Yeah, let's see what he does Thursday night.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Yeah, Josh Jones, five tackles in that ball game. Talking about Kyler Fackrell, four tackles, a sack. He is now your sack leader this season for the Green Bay Packers. Five of them on the scene. Dean Lowry, sack, 7-yard loss, six tackles in that ball game as well. Reggie Gilbert came in. He had a sack and three tackles. And Raven Green even came off the edge, and he ended up picking up a sack in that ball game. They're bringing them from everywhere. I like what Mike Pettine's doing. He's bringing pressure from all different areas, and they're managing up front between Mike Daniels, Kenny Clark, and company. And if you can get the outside of that defense, if you can get Dean Lowry and company to really kind of bring it and give you some, you know, there was a Montrevious Adams sighting as well. I mean, if they can start really playing well and fortify the trenches, things can be a little bit different regarding the Green Bay Packers. But I agree, Nick Perry is, what the hell is Nick Perry doing? Kyler Fackrell's outplaying him right now. He's your first-round draft choice going back to 2012. Kyler Fackrell's your third-round draft choice just a few years ago. Nick Perry coming off of injury, I understand that, but he got the contract and just faded. It's just, you know, can Nick Perry be called Cletus Hunt too? You know? Kevin King's got to get back on the field and remain healthy. Otherwise, you've got a pretty solid secondary. I'm excited to see Jair Alexander and what he can continue to do and progress. And I think they've got something in that secondary right now, but got to keep guys healthy. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Couple of things here. This is from David, who writes, hey, guys, love listening to the program. Do you think Giannis is a clear front runner for the MVP? And should David Bakhtiari be an all-pro again this season? I'm watching him consistently, and he has been good, but he hasn't been great. Do you think he'll be an all-pro again this year? First of all, going back to your question about Giannis, the words would be just simply, hell yes. Should he be considered for an MVP? Yes, absolutely. If he's not in the top two or three, somebody has fallen out of a car on their head while it was moving. Meanwhile, David Bakhtiari's been asked to do a lot this year, and he's been pretty solid in doing it. I mean, linemen are always going to have a miss or two here or there. It's whether or not you get your quarterback killed, and you hope that he doesn't. You live to fight another day, and you go out and you continue to play well. But between him and Lane Taylor, if you've watched the run game specifically, man, him, Lane Taylor, Corey Linsley, they've done a fantastic job at opening some things up for Aaron Jones. And in protecting Aaron Rodgers, backside, so to speak, Bakhtiari's done a really solid job. So it would not surprise me. First of all, you get it. Once you get there, you get a reputation for being that guy. And Bakhtiari's got that. So will he be a Pro Bowler? I bet you he is. But will he be a first ballot Pro Bowler? Will he be an alternate? I don't know. But I can almost guarantee, barring injury, that David Bakhtiari gets a nod somewhere along the way. Now, offensively speaking, they've got to get better. Because otherwise they're going to say, well, you know, Aaron Rodgers is under siege. He's got pressure and this and that. And some of the sacks and some of the pressures that we saw this past weekend against the Miami Dolphins, those weren't because the offensive line broke down. It was because the coverage was so good. Some of those were coverage sacks, and I had mentioned that yesterday, that sometimes, you know, especially a lot of these comeback routes when Aaron Rodgers is moving and pointing, some of these guys are just kind of just like juking side to side, but they're not really going anywhere. They're not running. It's not, you're not doing it with your feet. You're doing it with your hips. It's kind of like watching a white person dance. They don't move. You're just standing there swaying your hips and not doing anything. So, you know, it's you got to be a little more creative. You got to be a little more on the run in that wide receiving core. When Aaron Rodgers gets out on the move, you got to get on that same page. That's been what's kind of frustrating, because Aaron Rodgers throughout his entire career has really made a living on secondary options, on getting out on the run, on being able to create with his feet. So if you don't have the same guys around him that are able to do that, then yeah, the offense is going to struggle a little bit. But it's not in large part because the offensive line is consistently broken down, because people just want to say, well, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have any time. Once you get past 2.5, 3 seconds, here it comes, man. The rush is coming. You got to get rid of the football, and you got to do something with it. So that's more open to the, they're more up to the guys downfield getting open than it is anything. 855-830-8648. Stay tuned. You know why? Because coming up next, it's the Football Frenzy. Gotta love it. Best segment of the year. Best segment. Always. So much fun. Good stuff. Next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Another big football weekend.
Rodgers, wide open first down, caught.
Time to look around the rest of the league.
Caught, touchdown, Detroit Lions, Kenny Galladay, and rookie welcome to the game.
Once Antonio Brown throws it underneath, touchdown.
This is the Football Frenzy on the Bill Michaels Show.
Inside the five, Riddick at the two, Riddick to the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions.
Harry again, got home. Fourth down.
Brought to you by the Wisconsin Laborers District Council. They train, you gain.
Trying to get them with 12 men on the field, and they may have.
For apprenticeship info and the location of the local near you, go to wylaborers.org.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show continues. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. It's where they believe in better. Picture yourself, you and a friend. 50-yard line, Lambeau Field. Plush leather recliners. That's right. I'm not kidding. They'll do it. All you got to do is go to Packers.com/best seats. Packers.com/best seats for the best seats in the house. Cousin Subs brings it to you. I would highly recommend stopping off at Cousins on the way and picking it up for some tailgating fare. But that is Cousin Subs. And you can get registered now, every day, daily, now through December 16th, and increase your chances of winning. That's Cousin Subs, where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Time now. Fall the frenzy. The Bears and the Lions. Mitch Trubisky makes it look easy on this one. Finds Anthony Miller for the touchdown.
Second and five of the 45 of Detroit. Snap, Trubisky. Four-man rush with all kinds of time. Loads up right. Caught, Miller at the 25 of Detroit. Breaks a tackle to the sideline. 10-5. End zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears.
Touchdown, Bears. Parkey, by the way, the Bears kicker. Four. Count them, four kicks doinking off the upright. I mean, I've seen guys miss, but not four that actually hits the upright. By the way, Mitch Trubisky, 23 of 30, 355 yards, three touchdowns, 148.6 quarterback rating in that one. Matthew Stafford, 25 of 42, 274 yards, but 2-2, touchdowns and interceptions, quarterback rating 74.9. I think they're having a little buyer's remorse right now in Detroit. That was the Bears Radio Network and Jeff Joniak. Saints and Bengals. Drew Brees hooks up with Michael Thomas for his second one of the day.
8 seconds on the play clock. Brees from the empty backfield drops back, looks in the slot. Mike Thomas across the end zone. Touchdown, Saints. Unbelievable. His second touchdown of the day, and the Saints take a 34-7 lead. They're going to have 35 points 2 weeks in a row in the first half.
As a matter of fact, they ended up with 51 total, 51-14. They beat the hell out of the Bengals in Paul Brown Stadium. Drew Brees, 22 of 25. You heard me right, 22 of 25. 265 yards, three touchdowns, no picks, a quarterback rating, 150.4. Andy Dalton sucks. I'm just going to leave it at that. They fired their defensive coordinator the very next day as well. They brought in Hugh Jackson, the former head coach of the Cleveland Browns. He is now a special assistant. I don't know what that means, but nevertheless, it's double secret probation for him. That was on the Saints radio network. Titans, Patriots, Derrick Henry playing a Wildcat, scores on a 10-yard run. Here it is.
Mariota shifts out, direct snap. Henry running on the right side. Henry five. Henry end zone. Touchdown, Titans. A Wildcat.
34-10, the Titans beat the Patriots. Derrick Henry 11 carries, 58 yards. That one right there, two touchdowns on the day. Marcus Mariota, 16 of 24, 228 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. Tom Brady, 21 of 41, 254 yards, but not a touchdown, not a pick, not a great day. They used two trick plays as well, by the way. Hoyer throwing the football and Edelman throwing the football. Both of those plays combined netted 13 yards on the day. Edelman, 9 catches, 104 yards. But Davis, 7 catches, 125 yards for Tennessee, and a touchdown on the day as the Titans radio network all excited, all geeked up over that one. Colts and Jags. Andrew Luck, he hits Eric Ebron for the tight end. That tight end for the third touchdown of the game.
Luck wide open to the end zone. Lobs it for Eric Ebron. Touchdown! Touchdown! A 12-yard pass. Wide open was Eric Ebron. That's his third touchdown of the half.
Colts Radio Network 29-26. Colts get a win. Andrew Luck 21 of 29, 285 yards, three touchdowns, one pick. Quarterback rating 123.5 on the day. Blake Bortles, not a bad day. 26 of 38, 320 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Quarterback rating of 111.7. But what has happened to that defense that was so vaunted? 29-26, the Colts get a win. Jaguars go to 3-6 on the season. They just continue the downward spiral. Chiefs and Cardinals. Patrick Mahomes, he connects with Tyreek Hill on the score.
Empty backfield, Mahomes. Three eligible right, two left on third and goal at the 14 of Arizona. Snap to Mahomes at his belt, sidestepping. Fires for the end zone. The pass is going to be caught. Touchdown, Kansas City. Tyreek Hill, but Patrick Mahomes now has set a Kansas City Chiefs record, bringing his own ice to the party. 31 touchdowns in a single season, breaking the record of Lenny the Cool Dawson 55 years ago.
26-14, the final, and to think that Patrick Mahomes has thrown 31 touchdowns so far this season, and they're just now halfway through the season. 21 of 28, 249 yards, two touchdowns, 125.4 quarterback rating. Tyreek Hill, two touchdowns on the day, 7 catches, 117 yards. That's just the way it is. I mean, he's having an incredible, incredible year right now. That's on the Kansas City Chiefs Radio Network. The Bills, the Jets, LeSean McCoy began Buffalo's scoring barrage with a 28-yard touchdown run.
First and 10, Bills have it at the Jets' 28-yard line. Matt Barkley gets them lined up. The snap, and they give it to Shady. Shady's got room right side at the 20. 15-10 inside the 5, headed into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! LeSean McCoy finally hits the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Two plays, and the Buffalo Bills lead it.
There you go. The Buffalo Bills radio network, obviously without an engineer on site who doesn't know how to run the sound. 41-10. The Bills get the win. LeSean McCoy, 26 carries, 113 yards, 28 right there, two touchdowns on the day. Barkley goes 15 of 25, 232 yards, a couple of touchdowns, no picks. Josh McCown, 17 of 34, 135 yards, two picks. Absolutely, positively terrible. Terrible in that one. Then you got the Redskins, the Buccaneers. Look who forced yet another turnover. Wait a minute, what?
Fitzpatrick takes a snap again. He's got all day over the middle to Rodgers, and he breaks the tackle. Ball bounced out from behind. That was Ryan Anderson, and Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix covers it in the end zone. Ryan Anderson from behind brought that forearm and fisted that ball right out of his hand.
16-3. How about that? Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix falling on one in the end zone, 16-3. The final in that ball game. Redskins get the win. They continue to roll on. Fitzpatrick, 29 of 41, 406 yards, but two picks on the day. Alex Smith, 19 of 27, a touchdown, 178 yards. Not a bad day at the office. Not a high-scoring game, not an exciting game, but 16-3. The Redskins go to 6-3. The Buccaneers go to 3-6, and that was on the Redskins radio network. Browns and Falcons. Nick Chubb has a breakout game. I got to be honest. The Browns are not losing at home. They just win at home. So if they stay at home the entire season, they're going undefeated. And Nick Chubb has a breakout game, takes it to the house, 92 yards.
Second and 10, Browns have it at their own 8-yard line. Chubb remains the running back. Mayfield under center, takes the snap, gives it. Chubb runs, he's to the 10, 15, he's to the 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. There goes Chubb, he's to the 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown, Chubb.
What the hell did he say? Chubba Wubba Hub?
Touchdown! Chubba Wubba Hub!
What the hell is that? 28-16, the final on the Browns Radio Network. Chubb, 20 carries, 176 yards. That 92-yard scamper right there for a touchdown.
Chubb-a-lubba-hub!
I'm going to start screaming that out when I'm excited now. Chubb-a-lubba-hub. I don't know what it means. It's kind of like the old band Chumbawamba. That song, I Get Knocked Down, I like that too. Baker Mayfield, 17 of 20, 216 yards, three touchdowns. A 151.2 quarterback rating. Meanwhile, Matt Ryan, he's having a good year, man. 38 of 52, 330 yards, a couple of touchdowns, rating of 102.2. They just can't win. Atlanta just can't win. They suck. They suck swamp water right now. It's just bad. Then you've got to the Chargers and the Raiders. Speaking of long runs, Melvin Gordon, gone Wisconsin, 66 yards. Here it is.
Rivers in the shotgun, Gordon to his left. Raiders showing blitz, and they'll bring the house. Rivers throws to Gordon on the screen, one man to miss, and of course he makes a miss. 40, 45, midfield 50, 40. No one in front of him. Flash to the finish line. Touchdown, Chargers. 66 yards to pay dirt. Melvin Gordon.
Little bit higher voice, otherwise he might sound like Paul Allen, but that's the Chargers radio network. Melvin Gordon, 20-6. The Chargers knock off the Raiders. And speaking of sucking, the Raiders couldn't have sucked more if they had to. They're terrible. They're absolutely positively terrible. Nothing else to say about it. They just stink. Rams and Seahawks. Brandon Cooks puts Seattle away with a 9-yard touchdown run. Here it is.
First and goal from the 9. 6 minutes to go in regulation. Goff under center. Jet sweep. Right side. Brandon Cooks to the end zone. Touchdown, LA!
36-31 on the Rams radio network. Jared Goff, 28 of 39, 318 yards. Two touchdowns. Quarterback rating of 113.0. But Russell Wilson, good day. 17 of 26, 176 yards, three touchdowns. Quarterback rating of 123.2. Lockett was 67 yards on five catches and a touchdown on the day. They're a good football team. They just give it up at inopportune times. They don't have the Legion of Boom anymore to back them up. But the Seahawks take it on the chin. They go to 4-5. They are desperate for a win with the Packers on the docket coming up Thursday night. Meanwhile, the Rams go to 9-1 on the season. That, again, was the Rams radio network. Cowboys and Eagles. Zeke Elliott, he's got the go-ahead touchdown. Here it is.
Handoff. Elliott works his way through and walks the dog. Touchdown, Elliott. Oh, what a job by Looney.
Ah, great job up front. Oh, great job up front.
Man, man, oh, man.
Walking a dog, pooping on a hydrant. I don't get it, but whatever. 27-20, the Cowboys, 4-5. Now the Eagles go to 4-5 as well. They beat them on Sunday night. And then you've got the Giants and 49ers. Eli Manning finds Sterling Shepard for the score here last night.
2nd and 1 for the Giants from the 3-yard line. Manning in a shotgun set. Barkley to his left. Manning back to throw. He looks left. He throws left. Caught for the touchdown by Sterling Shepard. And the Giants mob Shepard. 53 seconds to go, and the Giants are up 26-23 with the extra point pending.
That was a 1 minute, 53-second drive culmination with 53 seconds left to go in the game when Eli Manning hit Sterling Shepard. That was for the win, 27-23 on the Giants radio network. And that is your frenzy. There you have it. I'm feeling good now. Always enjoy that. Always enjoy it. By the way, speaking of a frenzy, it is a frenzy right now for finger pointing. We'll talk more about that coming up next in the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin Wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show on the air. We are glad you were on board today. Thanks so much. Taking a listen to us. We always appreciate you being here and chiming in. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Neumel Medical. Neumel Medical, by the way, They all but guarantee the fact that they can give you a helping hand, so to speak. Pardon the pun. If you are kind of experiencing the ED thing and you hear about the pills, this pill or that pill, ED can be caused by many underlying health issues, my friends, or just by normal aging, for that matter. Problem with the pills, they don't get to the, quote, root of the problem. They have some nasty side effects as well. Call the medical experts over at Neumel Medical Center. They're going to create an ED solution especially for you, and you're going to see results in the first visit. And if you don't, that visit is free. If you're sluggish, moody, foggy, really low stamina, no energy, you may have a low T like I did. Thanks to the guys over at Neumel, plenty of energy to get through my crazy life. And God knows I got a crazy life and a schedule. It's just bananas. And if you want to shed some pounds, check out Neumel's all-in-one weight loss program. Stepped on the scale today. From where I was when I started, I'm down 57 pounds exactly. 57 pounds exactly. Now, I weighed in with clothes and stuff on, which adds about 3 to 5 pounds. So otherwise, it's about 60, which means I lost a total of 70, put on maybe 10, but I needed to because I wasn't really lifting or working out, so maybe 10 pounds of some muscle. But still feeling great, feeling younger, back in the game. All you got to do is call them, 414-455-4451, 414-455-4451. That's the Neumel Medical Center in Milwaukee and in Green Bay. Again, 414-455-4451. Coming up the next hour, Dave Schrader is going to be joining us. He is the sports anchor and reporter for WBAY-TV in Green Bay. But right out of the top of the chute, Brian Baldinger of the NFL Network, he is going to be here. Now, we get a chance to chat with Brian just about every Super Bowl. He's always fantastic, always comes by and says hello to us, and always appreciate his time. And so we're going to get a chance to kind of chat with him. I want to get his opinion on this Packers team, and all, more so on this division. I heard him on a Chicago station earlier this week talking about what he's witnessed in the growth of Mitch Trubisky and what the Vikings are doing up in Minnesota. And obviously they're going to be clashing coming up on Sunday night. I'm looking forward to Sunday night football. This is the game, by the way. Sunday night football is Minnesota in Chicago. So I'm looking forward to that. It's Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. The first game out of the chute, Detroit and Chicago. So you get a chance to watch some NFC North football on its own, standalone times. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not like I'm sitting here going, oh, man, this is great. I'm some big Bears fan or anything. But I'm, you know, the Vikings on the road in Chicago, that's for the top spot. Then you got the Bears and the Lions coming up on Thursday. The rest of the lineup, by the way, good one. Good one. Because the Cowboys, as we all know, always host. Cowboys and Redskins. 6-3 Redskins on the road taking on the Cowboys. Then you've got a battle of the NFC South. And that is the god-awful Falcons on the road taking on the New Orleans Saints. Now, that should be a game in which they just get smoked. By that point in time, the tryptophan should have kicked in. The belts are undone. Maybe you're in spandex pants at that point or just big old sweats. One hand down the front, you're scratching stuff you never knew you had, and you got potatoes oozing out of things that you never knew you had either. So that game might be the one you can go to sleep on. The rest of them should be pretty good. And then you've got that coming up that weekend, the Packers on the road taking on the Vikings. I mean, I'm there's a lot of good football coming up. I'm geeked. I'm excited about this. Is there anything else that's good? Seattle and Carolina. Now, Seattle that week has to go all the way over to Carolina and take on the Panthers. That's maybe one of those better games. But beyond that, everything else stinks. The NFL is a relatively mediocre league. You know the one team nobody's talking about, and they only have two losses on the season? The Chargers. The Chargers are hosting the Cardinals on November 25th. The Chargers. 7-2. Nobody's talking about them. I don't know why, but nobody is. Nobody is. You got a good one coming up on this coming Monday night, by the way. 9-1 Chiefs on the road, 9-1 Rams. That is destinational viewing. I cannot wait for that one. Really looking forward to that one. That'll be good. Other than that, going back to the Chargers, the Broncos are on the road taking on the Chargers. Other than that, not a whole lot happening. You got the 5-4 Bengals who stink taking on the 4-5 Ravens. Usually that's a good game because they hate each other, but that's not even that good. Everything else kind of stinks in the NFL. Has the NFL lost your interest, or because of gambling and fantasy football, you're still glued to it? But if I really had to sit here today and go, man, give me some great matchups, Everything kind of stinks. The Thursday night game is good. The Packers on the road, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, yeah. After that, 2-4-5 teams, the Cowboys and the Falcons.
Yeah.
6-3 Panthers on the road, taking on the god-awful Matt Patricia. I think Matt Patricia is now the guy that ate Matt Patricia because he hasn't found a barbecue place in Detroit that he hasn't liked. 6-3 against 3-6. Jaguars stink. Their defense is bad. Titans are okay. They're on the road taking on Indianapolis. There's not a whole lot of good football out there. 2-6-3 teams, Texans and Redskins. That's not a bad game. Just waxing nostalgic here. We're going to talk about all of that coming up. Brian Baldinger of the NFL Network, he is going to join us on the Bill Michaels Show. That is coming up next.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.